So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 9. It's entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. We go from text 5 until 8 to 9, and 7 to 8. And 7 to 8 has a purport. It's on the board. I cannot chronologically record all the places of pilgrimage visited by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can only summarize everything by saying that the Lord visited all holy places right and left, coming and going. Text 6. Because it is impossible for me to record all these places in chronological order, I will simply make a token gesture of recording them. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. As previously stated, all the residents of the villages visited by Lord Chaitanya became Vaishnavas and began to chant Hari and Krishna. In this way, in all the villages visited by the Lord, everyone became a Vaishnava, a devotee. Purport. The holy names of Krishna and Hari, or the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, are so spiritually powerful that even today, as our preachers go to remote parts of the world, people immediately begin chanting Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the supreme personality of Godhead himself. There cannot be anyone who can compare to him or his potencies. However, because we are following in his footsteps and also chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the effect is almost as potent as during the time of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our preachers mainly belong to European and American countries, yet by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, they have tremendous success wherever they go to open branches. Indeed, everywhere people are very seriously chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grim Yat Kripatam Mahambande Shri Gurundina Taranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktabinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It's wonderful to be back here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. It feels like a home from home. And it is home in many ways, of course. So thank you for a wonderful welcome from the devotees here. We've brought a group from Budapest Temple, preaching Sankirtan devotees. And it's a wonderful verse and one wonderful purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on his travels in South India. And so many places that he went to. Of course, Lord Nityananda was taken by a sannyasi, Lakshmipati Tirtha, some say someone else. And he spent 20 years traveling around India to all of the holy places. And even then, he didn't cover everywhere. From Badrikashram down to Kanyakumari, from Dwarka all the way across to Puri, north to south, west to east. India's huge. Not only is it huge, but it's full of wonderful transcendental places where the Lord's performed his pastimes. So many incarnations have performed so many pastimes over millennia and ages. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing his travels here. And wherever he goes, what does he do? He doesn't just preach, he practices what he preaches. So he says, Yari Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh. He's telling everyone about Krishna wherever he goes. He's not shy. He's loud and proud about Krishna consciousness. He's giving Krishna consciousness to everyone wherever he goes. Srila Prabhupada was invited to go, I think it was to Hawaii, some hot place. And the devotees were trying to entice Prabhupada to go. And they said, Prabhupada, there's wonderful mangoes here. Juicy, sweet mangoes with thick skins and a lot of pulp. And Prabhupada loved mangoes, of course. Mangoes are the king of all fruits. But then Prabhupada soon after received an invitation to go to Moscow. And that's when he spent 5 days in Russia. Those were the 5 days that he spent in Russia. So Prabhupada went instead to Moscow, and he told the devotees that the snows of Moscow are much sweeter than any kind of mango that anyone could offer me. So Prabhupada was a real preacher at heart. He, they say, died on the battlefield. We were up with the group. We were up in Prabhupada's rooms yesterday, and just reflecting on how much is austerity and endeavor Prabhupada went through in order to preach Krishna consciousness. And most of us are much younger and in much better physical health than Prabhupada. He did all of this for a reason. He set an example for us. His life is a living example. Once Prabhupada was giving class and he asked for questions, and there was a man who put his hand up and he said, Srila Prabhupada, please give me your blessings. And Prabhupada said, you know, we have this international society, we have so many centers, and there's so much headache. If anyone's done any management or is in management, then you know that management means headaches. So many problems, constantly. So Srila Prabhupada said, so many problems, so many issues, you take some of this burden off of my shoulders, and this will be your blessing. This is your blessing. And this will give you so many blessings ultimately from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the man got scared. He said, no, it's okay, no problem, no problem. But this is Mahaprabhu's desire also in the Antilila, third chapter. Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Haridas Thakur, and he's just looking at all of the people of Kali Yuga. And he's saying, how will these people be delivered? They're yavanas, they're malechas, they're eating cows, they're doing so many terrible sinful activities, they're so fallen. How will they ever be delivered? So then Haridas Thakur says, anyone remember? Haridas Thakur says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhu, chinta na kariya. Chinta means worry. Mahaprabhu, don't worry. This burden should not be only on your shoulders. I will also take some of this burden from you. I will shoulder some of the burden. What does that mean? I will also preach. I will take some of the responsibility to preach Krishna consciousness to these yavanas and malechas and help them to perfect their lives. So, of course, then Prabhupada says in the purport that there's a duty of every member of ISKCON to similarly take this duty upon their shoulders, to take some of the burden from the shoulders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is something we have to take very seriously. My Guru Maharaj, Srila Shiva Maharaj, he was talking about when they were building the temple in Hungary, in Krishna Valley, for Radha Shyam Sundar. And he was saying that it was a big undertaking. Hungary is not the richest country. They had a huge plan for a huge temple. A lot of, naturally, whenever you're doing something for Krishna, there's always going to be issues. There's always going to be obstacles. And he was, alongside all of the problems, to gather the funds required for a temple of that size was very, very difficult. So Maharaj was saying that at a certain point, he was there in Krishna Valley. It was just mud. The construction had started, but was going slowly due to a lack of funds and issues and problems. And he really began to have second thoughts. Maybe I've bitten off more than I can chew. You know, maybe I should just drop this. And he was really thinking, okay, this is too much. So on the way home, there was a devotee driving him. He was a businessman. They were driving to Budapest. It's a 2-hour drive. And Maharaj is just expressing his concerns to this devotee. And then that devotee, he said, you know, he got very concerned. He said, Maharaj, we can't drop this. Krishna Valley has to happen. This temple has to be built. And I will take the burden. I will give 50% of the costs. And he wasn't, you know, that was way beyond his means. It was way beyond his means. But he said, I will give 50% of the costs for this temple. But just please carry on. Don't drop it. And that conversation gave Maharaj enough encouragement and inspiration to continue on with the project. And of course, the temple was built, and Radha Shyamasundara were invited. Actually, they were upstairs in the office up there for a year. They were sent from Jaipur to the manor. They stayed up there while the temple was being built in Hungary. And when they were ready, Radha Shyamasundara were taken over and installed. And so how much mercy did that individual get for taking that responsibility, for saying, yes, I will put myself on the line. I will take responsibility. I will take on a burden. What does Prabhupada say? It's a burden of love. Preaching is, it's not easy often, you know. It's blissful, it's wonderful, there's a lot of reciprocation, but it's not easy to do, and it can be a thankless task. That's another thing Prabhupada says sometimes. It's a thankless task in many ways, but at the same time, there's so much mercy which comes from it, and so much inspiration. There was another, just this topic of sacrifice, taking responsibility. There was one devotee telling me how, you know, the TOVP were doing a tour, and they were fundraising, of course. And there was this buy a brick for the temple, this kind of scheme. And I think one brick, I was told, was £200. And like that, you can help. Every devotee should contribute towards building this temple. And so there's one devotee who was very, very, not very rich at all. And he put his hand up and he said, I will sponsor 10 bricks. So £2,000. And again, that was way beyond his means. So then the fundraiser knew this devotee personally. And he asked him afterwards, why did you do that? I know that you're living hand to mouth. Why did you make such a step? Why did you commit to such a thing? Make such a promise. And the devotee said, very earnestly, he said, Srila Prabhupada has given me so much. He's given me everything. He's given me life. I owe everything to him. So it's about time that I also gave something back to him. And what does giving mean? I always tell the devotees that giving means that has to be a bit of a pinch, you know. We want to give within our, and I'm not just talking about Lakshmi, but in any area of our life, we want to give within our comfort zone. Whatever is feasible, whatever is comfortable. But real giving means when you go beyond, when there's a little pinch. Because Krishna's not really looking at how much you give. Because a pauper can give a penny, a king can give a million. They all have different means. So Krishna's not looking at what you're giving, he's looking at what you're holding back. And that may mean Lakshmi, that may mean effort and energy that you put in, that may mean the consciousness that you invest in your service, but Krishna's looking at what you're keeping back. What are you holding for yourself? What are you holding for your own comfort zone? How do we get the mercy of the Lord? It's a question we have to ask ourselves regularly. How do I become a recipient of the Lord? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving mercy unlimitedly. We always hear. He's burst open the storehouse of love of God, we hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's giving it indiscriminately. How does it go? Ye yaha pai tara kohe taha kare premadan. Lutia khaya diya bandara ujare, ashcharya bandara prema satagunabare. That this storehouse of love of God, lutia, he's plundering this storehouse, and he's giving the prema freely, indiscriminately. Patra patra vichara nahi nahi sthana sthan. Jai jaha pai taha kore premadan. He doesn't consider time, place, circumstance, personality, qualification. He's giving prema indiscriminately to anyone and everyone. He's giving everyone the mercy. So how do we really become recipients of that mercy? There isn't a condition, in one sense. at the same time there is, especially when you know. And what is Mahaprabhu's condition? He wants us to give ourselves. He wants us to sacrifice for him. And I live in Hungary. We have facility. We have relative opulence. We have a wonderful temple in Budapest. I live in Budapest. And I lived here for years. Bhaktivedanta Manor is a home of opulence. Lord Ram is here. He's bringing so much opulence to this place. So devotees very easily can get very comfortable in this kind of environment. We come here, everything's arranged, everything's taken care of. There are managers who are working very hard to maintain the place and keep things running and going. There are many devotees who are very committed and dedicated, of course, and doing so much service. But there's so much opulence here. And I often think about the old days and how it was in the late 60s, how it was in the 70s, when the pioneering days, when Krishna consciousness was being established, and there was nothing. Devotees had very little. When they went to Mayapur, then they just had, like Bhagavatam says, earthly flats to lie on. What do you use for a pillow? We came to the ashram and Paramakarnapuru arranged pillows for us. And I was thinking, yes, it's very nice. This is hospitality. And this is his kindness. Bhagavatam says that use your arms. Who needs a pillow when you have your arms? You know? And comfort is, a certain degree of comfort is needed, sure. I'm not saying that we should all in the winter sleep outside on the wonderful lawn. But comfort can be dangerous. Because comfort means that in our consciousness, we're thinking about me, me, and me. Whereas Krishna consciousness trains us, should train us, to put ourselves aside, to put our mind, body, needs to a degree aside. And learn to give, because the material world trains us to think about ourselves, to focus on our needs, what I want, what I need. This is how we're brought up. It's all about how I'm going to get a good education, how I'm going to get a good job, how I'm going to have a comfortable family, a big car and a big house, and then have children and give them the same, and have great grandchildren and give them the same. And it's just about me and my extended sense gratification. And this is the way material world trains us. But somehow we have to let go of these things and learn how to give. Because as we give, we satisfy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gives us his mercy. So the danger is that we become like the Gaudiya Mutt. So there's a reason why Prabhupada didn't want his devotees to associate with those, with his godbrothers and their mutts. Because, you know, of course we know the history in the 1930s, after Saraswati Thakur left, he had created 64 mutts across India. And there was a fight. Who would be in charge? Who would be in control? Who would get the biggest temples and the most facility, who would be the boss? And Srila Prabhupada's point was, but that's not what it's about. What is it actually about? It is about how to fulfill the order of our spiritual master. And what was the primary order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for his disciples? It was to preach Krishna consciousness. And it wasn't just to preach Krishna consciousness within India, it was to preach it across the world. And Srila Prabhupada said that none of his godbrothers took that order to heart. The quality of a disciple is to take the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul. And I know we hear these things all the time, and it's kind of cliche. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaunitai ki. We hear these things all the time. It sounds cliche. It goes over a head, because we hear it so often. But we really have to do this in our lives. We have to take Srila Prabhupada's mood and order to heart. And there's a danger that we drift away from that over time. I'll explain what I mean. So in the Gaudiya Mat, the focus was on how can we maintain, so how can we grab control? How can we maintain these temples? But there was no focus on expanding the mission. And particularly, most of Prabhupada's godbrothers thought that this idea of taking Krishna consciousness across the world was impossible. So when I think it was Bon Maharaj, he went to the West and he met Lord Zetland. And when he told him about the four regulative principles, then he said, absolutely impossible. So Bon Maharaj took that message back to India and told all the godbrothers that this is their reaction. Absolutely impossible. But Prabhupada's mood was that the word impossible is only in the dictionary of fools. So Prabhupada was a pioneer. So ISKCON therefore represents that pioneering mood. And the danger is that we lose that pioneering spirit, that desire and that thrust, that focus on really giving Krishna consciousness to the world and becoming thus empowered. So how to become empowered is thinking outside the box. It's preaching Krishna consciousness widely and taking a risk. Making sacrifice for Krishna, coming out of our comfort zone. Because whilst we stay within our comfort zones, we will not get the mercy. I'm limited on time. I just wanted to make one related point and then ask if there's questions. But we have to finish at 8:30, correct? Yeah. But there's a retreat today, university retreat, and I think they need to clean the temple room before the retreat starts. What's the verdict? What do I do? Please instruct me. Eight thirty it is. Okay. So So, you know, sometimes devotees also lose inspiration in Krishna consciousness, and it happens everywhere. I visit the manor from time to time. A few weeks ago in Budapest, I ran into some devotees. I hadn't seen them for years and years. And they were visiting Budapest temple. And I was just speaking to them, and I said, so how's the temple doing? How's everything back at home? And they said, we don't go so much. I said, so you know, I used to see them on Harinam regularly, so how's the Harinam going? We don't really go so much, you know. And I could just see that they had lost inspiration in their Krishna consciousness. Maybe they got initiated 7 or 8 years ago. After initiation, there's this buzz, there's this enthusiasm, this excitement that, okay, you know, I've taken these vows, I've got a new name. And then maybe some devotees start to aspire to get Brahman initiation, and then they're kind of enthusiastic. Okay, then I can go on the altar and worship the deities. So when you've got that tick box done, you've got the thread, you can chant the mantras, you're part of the club. Then after another year or two, if you don't practice properly, then things begin to get staid. Things begin to get boring. One devotee asked me recently, you go to Mangalarti every day? I said, yeah, that's why I live in a temple, to go to Mangalarti, you know? And they said, you have to go every day? That means you have to wake up at 4 o'clock every day? I said, yeah. I said, it's great, it's blissful. And she said, but don't you get bored? Don't you get bored? I was just thinking, bored? You know, if Krishna consciousness, Krishna says, is susukam kartam avyayam. Do we experience that Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna, is susukam? It brings great bliss. And if we don't, then is the process the problem? Because very often devotees blame the process. Is the process a problem? Or is the way we apply the process in our lives a problem? And I would say the latter. It is the latter. Because this process, if you chant attentively, and if you really read and study the books daily, then you will experience a bliss. You will experience Krishna in your lives. But if we don't do that properly, if we don't practice the process properly, if we don't apply this process attentively, meticulously, then we don't experience Krishna consciousness. Then we miss out. So, very often, there's this 80-20 trap they talk about. Very often people think, what is the 80-20 trap? That 80% of what we do is external, and 20% is internal. And this is how we live our lives very often. 80% of our focus is on what are we doing externally? What is the color of my dress? What is my position? What is my role? How much respect do I get? How many books do I distribute? And so on and so on and so forth, whatever it may be. But many, many external things. And then 20% about how I feel, what's going on inside. Whereas actually Krishna consciousness is 80% internal and 20% external. Yeah? So Srila Prabhupada put emphasis on how many books we distribute, and therefore that's important. Yeah, what our role is in society, what our responsibility is for the mission, for the movement, is important. These things, so 20% is there, but 80% of spiritual life is what is going on inside. What is going on in my mind and my heart? What is my mood? And what is my intention as I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, as I'm doing my services, as I'm interacting with the devotees? What is going on in here? So, first thing is that we have to have the premise that I'm not this body. So when we do pujari service, there are the Bhuta Shuddhi prayers. And what do they say? Naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaishya na shudra. I'm not a vaishya shudra brahmana kshatriya. I'm not a householder. I'm not a brahmachari. I'm not a vanaprastha. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm none of these things. What am I then? I'm a servant. Fundamentally, I'm a servant. And we have to feel like a servant. We have to think like a servant. So why do we chant these mantras before we do pujari service? Because we have to go onto the altar in this consciousness. We have to come before the Lord, not in the mood that I'm an Indian, or I'm American, I'm Hungarian, or whatever I may be. I'm not a man or I'm not a woman. I'm a servant. But it really takes some reprogramming to really think and feel like a servant. And then, I don't know, I can't remember whether we chant it here, but Divyam Shri Hari Mandiradya Tilakam, do we chant this mantra here? Before pujari service? So basically what this mantra, do we? Yeah, we do, right? Yeah, I forget. So what this mantra is basically saying that I'm sitting next to my spiritual master. I have Kantimala. I have the names of Krishna and Rama written on my chest. I belong to them. I'm wearing brand new, clean clothes. And I'm sitting next to my spiritual master. And I'm eagerly awaiting direction for service. So this is a mood that we approach deity worship. This is a mood that we approach the deities with. That I'm none of these things. I'm simply a servant. And we have to strip ourselves of all of these false identities, these upadhis. And really, what is our fundamental, if there's one identity that we do have, it is that I'm a servant. And of course, then that gets deeper and deeper. So in the eighth nectar of instruction, verse 8, it talks about the Varana Dasha. Varana Dasha starts with removing this identity of being this body and being spirit soul, and ultimately understanding the end is, one side is that I'm not this body, and it ends with I'm a resident of Vrindavan, and more specific. So acceptance. Varana Dasha means to accept I'm not this body, and gradually, what am I ultimately? I'm a servant, and I'm a resident of Vrindavan. So to gradually come to this position of peeling ourselves away of this identity of being this body, and being a servant. What is the goal of Krishna consciousness? The second thing, which is very, very important. Rupa Goswami tells us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhanabhida. He says, the goal of Krishna consciousness, the goal of our sadhana practice is bhava. And what does bhava mean? Bhava means that you are qualified to see Krishna. So our spiritual practices are invested with this desire that I want to see Krishna. So we're chanting, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your loving devotional service. That has to become a yearning and a desire that we meditate on, that we think about. We actually want to become a servant in Vrindavan. And that's the fundamental overriding desire in our lives. It's so easy to get caught up with so many other things, so many other desires, so many other priorities in life. But this has to be number one. Otherwise, it's very easy to be like the devotees I mentioned. We chant mechanically, inattentively, mindlessly. We read irregularly. We associate casually. We commit offences. We have no taste. And then ultimately, if we really think about it, then we're just thinking, why am I actually doing all of this? And then gradually become more and more distant from the process, from the temple, from the mission. And your inspiration goes. And that's, we see that happening. And I'm sure everyone here knows some devotees, unfortunately, who have been in that position, who are in that position. But we don't want that to happen to us. So we need to know what the goal of Krishna consciousness is. And why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I want to be recognized as a brahmachari or as a grihastha or as a brahmana or an initiated devotee or as a great personality, a great devotee? Or am I doing this because I want to please and satisfy my spiritual master? I want to please and satisfy Srila Prabhupada. Again, it requires real rewiring, reprogramming of the consciousness, that I'm doing this for the pleasure of someone else. I'm living for the pleasure of someone else. I'm living for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. It really requires reprogramming, correcting the consciousness again and again and again, because the conditioned nature is to live for ourselves. To live for our own satisfaction. And then finally, how can I do this? So we have the what, we have the why, and how do we do this? It requires quality spiritual practice. It requires, and I'm fast forwarding, there's a lot more to say on these topics, but it really requires attentive chanting. And that's number one, to really learn how to hear the holy name. Because the mind naturally wanders away to the 101 other things that are going on. And somehow we have to grab the mind, bring it back, and just hear the holy name. Just hear. With a mood of, O Lord, O Eni, the Lord, I'm a beggar, I'm a servant, and I simply want to hear your holy name, and I want to serve you. Please engage me in your service. And that has to be, those 2 hours have to become the most important 2 hours of our lives. To really hear the holy name. To really read Prabhupada's books prayerfully and attentively. Prabhupada, please speak to me through your books. And to preach. As Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport, we all have to preach. To be members of the Krishna consciousness movement means that we all have to be preachers. We all have to find some way of yare daku tare kaho Krishna upadesh, of giving Krishna consciousness to others. And then ultimately, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, yata yata gora padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punya rashi. As you preach, you get credits from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The more we preach, the more we sacrifice, he gives credits. He gives mercy. And ultimately that mercy, through that mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reveal himself just like he does to Ramananda Rai. In the 8th chapter of the Madhyalila, we read that. Ramananda Rai gets a revelation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he is Radha Krishna, Radha Padamboja. Sudamburashi. I'll stop there and see if there's any quick comments, questions. Yes.
You gave some prayers that are chanted before worshipping the deity. And I was just wondering that the holy name is non-different to the form of the Lord, non-different to the deity. And so why aren't such procedures or prayers, why isn't it said to chant these before chanting the holy name, starting our japa practice in the morning?
There are many wonderful prayers which we can chant also before chanting the holy names. Rupa Goswami has a Namashtaka and 8 wonderful prayers in glorification of the holy name. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam. So the holy name contains everything. As we chant those holy names, many devotees chant so many prayers. I used to chant the Namashtaka before chanting, before starting my rounds. Devotees have their own favorite prayers. Chanting is very simple. Just to enter this mood that letting go of all of our, you know, if you're a householder, there's so many things you have to worry about. If you're a brahmachari, there's so many things you have to worry about. Letting go of all of those things and just forgetting the space you're in, letting go of all of these abhimans, self-conceptions, and just simply hearing the holy name. And if we just practice that, then we'll find that everything comes gradually. Simply hearing. And that's what Prabhupada said. It's so simple, you may miss it. It sounds so simple. It sounds so elementary. And we hear it all the time. But this is the key problem, that we become mechanical when we hear something again and again and again, and we hear this mantra 1,728 times a day, hopefully, 16 rounds. And we hear it again and again and again. We hear it so many times, you begin to take it for granted. Become mechanical. The mind wanders. We become absent. But we have to become practiced in grabbing the mind, bringing it back, and simply hearing. And from that, everything else, all advancement comes. and everything else is revealed, whatever else we need, whatever other association we may need to advance, whatever facilities we may need to advance in Krishna consciousness, come from this attentive chanting. We chant the 10 offenses before beginning chanting the holy names. And actually the other 22 hours of our day are fundamental for our chanting. What do we do the rest of the 22 hours? So a whole life is a preparation for chanting, actually. Whatever we do affects. It all comes out when we're chanting. Whatever else you do the rest of the other hours of your day, it all comes out when you're sitting down and chanting. So if we're Krishna conscious and we're really endeavoring to connect with Krishna, the person, in a real and genuine way, the more we're doing that and endeavoring in that way, controlling our minds, training our mind. This verse again, Nectar Instruction, verse 8, it says 5 times in the purport, Prabhupada says, control the mind, train the mind, focus the mind, again and again and again. It's all about the mind. The mind has to somehow become attached and connected to Krishna. Yeah, it's 2 verses which are mentioned twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, one of them is Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru, to focus the mind, connect it with Krishna. And when we do that, more and more, when we become practiced in that way, when those other 22 hours are spent more and more in Krishna consciousness, when we realize that all of that is a preparation for those 2 hours, then we find that our chanting also goes to new levels. So Krishna consciousness is a life where we're conscious living. And if the goal of our life is Krishna consciousness, again, very often there's this mission drift. Mission drift in ISKCON is possible, but our own mission drift. What is the mission of my life? What is the goal of my life? And that goal has to be Krishna. And if the goal is Krishna, and if it really is Krishna, then we'll take whatever we do, whoever we associate with, whatever we let our mind and senses exposed to, we'll take that very seriously. We'll be very attentive, very meticulous, and very concerned to make sure that the material energy doesn't seep in. Because we're surrounded by the material energy. We're surrounded by so many allurements and so many attractions, so many things which can edge us away from becoming Krishna conscious. So we have to be very serious. And depending on how serious we are, we'll see that we're able to practice Krishna consciousness smoothly or not. It is easy. It is very potent. It's very effective if we apply it properly, if we're very serious. But you have to give. You have to give. It doesn't just fall into your lap. It doesn't just come. Krishna's expecting us to endeavor. He's expecting us to sacrifice. He's expecting us to minimize our engagement with the material energy and focus our energies on Krishna consciousness. It's like we put our hands into fire and then complain about getting burnt. No, material energy burns. Material energy takes us away from Krishna. The more we engage with the material energy, the more difficult we'll find it to be inspired in Krishna consciousness. So we have to be real, we have to be grown up, we have to be genuine. If we really want to become Krishna conscious, if we really want to advance, it's not a walk in the park. It's not an easy ride. It's not automatic. It requires investment and energy. And it's business. Krishna means business because he wants us to go to him, but we have to make that choice, real choices in his direction. So we have to honestly analyze our lives and see how much am I actually really choosing Krishna, and how much am I thinking when I'm making a choice that how will this affect my Krishna consciousness? How will this affect my advancement in Krishna consciousness? How will this affect my relationship, my number one relationship? How will this affect my relationship with Krishna? And when we think like that, and we're sincere, and we choose Krishna again and again and again, then we'll find that naturally Krishna consciousness is a breeze, because this is natural. Actually, Krishna consciousness is a natural for the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sadhya Kabunai. So, this is natural. Material energy is unnatural. I'll stop there. I've gone over time, as usual. Grantharaj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nittai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur.